Although for some of us, it may be our families that create the greatest challenges in our lives, for others, family can pale in comparison to the harsh environments in which they live. Joining us now with Tales of Peril is Jake Halpern. He's the author of a new book, Braving Home, Dispatches from the Underwater Town, the Lavaside Inn, and Other Extreme Locations. Thanks for being with us, Jake.
Thanks, Lynn. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
And if you'd like to join in our conversation, give us a call at 800-989-TALK, and our email address is totn@npr.org. First of all, Jake, what made you want to write a book about extreme locales? And tell us a little bit about some of these extreme locales.
Yeah, well, I grew up in Buffalo, New York, and as kids, yeah, that's right. I'm used to the big snowdrifts. My brother and I used to like to explore the old kind of Bethlehem Steel area where all these plants closed down, and it's become this kind of post-apocalyptic almost area where moss has kind of grown over floors, and the staircases kind of run like waterfalls, and typewriters rust to old desks, and we used to go kind of explore these modern urban ruins, and there's always a handful of old-timers, steel workers, who wouldn't leave the neighborhoods. And I guess I grew up kind of, my brother and I both, intrigued by what would keep someone so connected to a place when the whole world around it is kind of disintegrated and disappeared.
Now, you visited, among other places, a house that a man lives in, and the house is entirely surrounded by lava. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, this is in Hawaii, and it's on Kilauea. And what happened was, he was kind of an average guy living in a suburban development when Kilauea erupted. And it's a benign volcano, which means it kind of gushes. And a massive front of lava about 10 miles wide just started to roll down the side of the mountain through the jungle. And Jack Thompson, whose house I stayed at for 2 weeks, is built on a little perch. And so the lava just kind of came around both sides and created what the Hawaiians called a kapuka, which is essentially an island of greenery that is cut off on all sides by lava. And I went and spent about 2 weeks living with Jack there.
And does he live there all by himself now? I mean, is he the only one there?
He does. And, you know, the area that he lives in has a number of other houses that have been abandoned. It's actually, there's quite a bit of roads. It's about almost 600 acres, and it's this spooky suburban development in which all the houses have kind of become overgrown with vines, and the streets are kind of marauded with wild boars. And he is the only guy that still lives there. And for Jack, the lava ended up being kind of a blessing. He considers himself a hermit, not much of a people person. And he kind of lives a Thoreauian existence, living off the land, using solar energy for electricity, rain catch for water. But he's the only guy there.
And would you say that's a pretty common characteristic of these people that you wrote about who live in these extreme places, that they are maybe antisocial, hermit-like people?
Well, definitely in some of the places. These are people that are really strong individuals, self-reliant, I would say loners, people who are willing to kind of go their own route. I think that one of the things that unifies the people in this book is they all have a very strong sense of self that is in many ways built around the fact that they are the last people here. And that is a point of pride. It's what defines them. It's what makes them different.
We're talking with Jake Halpern about his book, Braving Home, Dispatches from the Underwater Town, the Lavaside Inn, and Other Extreme Locales. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Jake, what would you say was the most extreme of all the places that you visited?
Well, the place that definitely kind of blew my mind the most was a town in Alaska called Whittier. And when I first heard about it, it almost had the ring of urban myth. Someone told me that essentially in the deep remote parts of Prince William Sound, there was a single 14-story high-rise nestled among the glaciers, and that the only way in was through a 2.5-mile NORAD-style entrance tunnel that kind of went on lockdown with these big metal gates every night. It sounded like it was the setting for a science fiction movie. But I did some research, and to my enormous surprise, I found out the place actually existed. It was an old Cold War military base that was abandoned, and it once held up to 10,000 men, and there are about 100 or so civilians that still live there. And so I wanted to go and see what this place was all about. They got like 20 feet of snow each year, and they get cut off by avalanches. So I flew into Anchorage and finally hired a taxi cab driver who made the 70 or so mile drive out to Whittier.
A taxi cab driver. I can't imagine a taxi there.
Yeah, the funny thing was is the taxi cab driver was actually a former Whittier resident.
Uh-huh.
Which was, I think, the only reason I was able to convince him to go.
That's great. Let's take a call. Jenny in Greensboro, North Carolina. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Jake. This is Jenny Berwerker from City Honors. I was calling to ask about if you had any, I guess, stereotypes when you went to places that you thought about regions you're going to or people you're going to meet that were changed once you went there?
Yeah, I certainly did. I think I had the image that a lot of us have of these kind of curmudgeon stalwarts. In particular, when I went to the volcano, I was imagining almost this Mad Max character with kind of lava-scorched boots and maybe a glass eye that was partially melted. I had no idea who on earth would live there. But I found that the more time I spent in each of these places, and that was one of my goals, to actually really try to spend some time living in these places, that they became a lot more accessible and I was able to relate to them. And a lot of the stereotypes that I initially brought in seemed to kind of wither as I spent more time with them.
Okay. Thanks, Jenny. How did you decide where to go? How did you decide which places to visit?
Well, what I did is I essentially sent out an email and phone calls and kind of this elaborate kind of location scouting quest in which I pumped everyone I knew for questions about where the most extreme locales they had heard of. In fact, I became friendly with the people at the Federal Emergency Management Agency press office. I was constantly calling them and say, where is the craziest place? And they would come back, and I had like maybe 50 places. And then I kind of began the search and narrowed it down to places that would be geographically diverse and the kind of places that most appealed to my imagination and curiosity.
You know, the book is called Braving Home. Does it take bravery to stay in some of these places?
I think it definitely does. I remember one night when I was actually at the Lava Side Inn with Jack, and we could hear kind of methane explosions, because when the lava would tap into the tree roots, it causes these, it almost sound like artillery fire. And we could see, he woke me up in the middle of the night and said, you got to see this. And we went up to his deck and we saw the lava kind of all around the house. And I said, has it been like this before? And he said, it's been like this many times. And I think it does take a lot of bravery. I think that also what struck me about the people in the book was they were also afraid of the outside world. And sometimes when I said I had lived in Boston or had been through New York, that seemed almost more frightening to them than what they were facing. And I think that in some ways, yes, it does take bravery to stay in the places that they did, but also they saw it as less brave than someone who might live in a city, so it was all relative.
And also, I mean, do these people ultimately, is it that they stay there because ultimately this is their home, this is where they're from, they don't want to abandon it?
Yeah, I think they do. The first chapter, a lot of the places have a deep sense of history, too. My first chapter is about Asheville, North Carolina, which is the oldest all-black town in America, and it kind of disappeared under this enormous flood in 1999. And I profile the first man to move back, and his home meant so much to him. He grew up as a sharecropper. He worked his entire life to have a home with kind of indoor plumbing and carpeted and heated. And, you know, this is where he raised his family and where his father had been and his grandfather before them as the first freedmen. And there was a sense that he was part of Princeville. If he left Princeville, he wouldn't be the same person and that he himself might be lost. And so I think that there's kind of a deep sense of connection of person and place that I found in a number of these places.
Sounds like you came away with an admiration for these people that you wrote about.
I did, and that kind of gets back to what your caller was saying, that I have these stereotypes. I think I was really blown away by what an impact they had on my life and how much respect I left having for them. I don't necessarily agree with all their choices, but I feel that they have really made kind of stands in their lives that are inspired and meaningful.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Jake.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Jake Halpern is the author of Braving Home, Dispatches from the Underwater Town, the Lava Side Inn, and Other Extreme Locales. He joined us from member station WBUR in Boston. In Washington, I'm Lynn Neary, NPR News.